It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back. It's hour two. Toker Talk Radio coming to you live from the 26th floor of the Ardea Condominium Towers in the south waterfront of beautiful legal potland, Oregon, on the banks of the Willamette River, under the watchful gaze of beautiful Mount Hood. I'm a little cheery because I got blue sky again today. Been rainy the last couple of days here in Portland, as it tends to be. But the weed is good, and the coffee is good, and the ciders are excellent. For where I'm staying here, there's a place called the Growler Guys, right across the way. And it's got 40 taps of local beers and ciders, and occasionally something weird. And I used to go over there and get a growler full of cider. Got me some pear cider last night. Absolutely delicious. And I bring this up because of how legalization is taking root all across the country and how people worry about this sometimes. That, oh my God, there's going to be a Walmart of weed. It's going to be corporatized. It's going to be corporate weed. And I'm like, fine. Great. I mean, we've got corporate beer, don't we? We got InBev. You know, Miller, Coors, Anheuser-Busch, whatever the hell. They can make billions and billions and billions of cans of Budweiser. I ain't drinking it. I'm going across the street to the Growler Guys and getting me a fine, handcrafted, local cider. So why would it be any different in the marijuana world, right? Like, how's it? Oh my God, they're going to mass produce swaggy joints. Well, don't smoke them then. Go get some better weed, right? I just never understood that fear. Now, looking at the gossip rags today, we've got some marijuana news involving the president's oldest daughter, Malia Obama. Now, you remember that back in July at Lollapalooza, there was some video of her smoking what appeared to be pot, appeared to be a joint. And that, you know, oh no. Well, now there's a new photo that's appeared. Radar Online has this of Malia Obama at University of Pennsylvania frat house. She's wearing a T-shirt that says smoking kills. And in the foreground of the picture is a big old 3-foot bong. So there she is hanging out at a Pennsylvania frat house with a bong right there on the coffee table. Does she toke? Is she toking? Was that marijuana? Come on, folks. Of course it was. She's an 18-year-old woman. She's a college student. She's experiencing life. Her dad is one of the most famous pot smokers on the planet. Of course she's going to have some curiosity. Of course she's going to have the intelligence to know that it's a safer choice than alcohol. I think my favorite thing about this going on is how it's a non-scandal. It's just like, so what? Like, this is the worst thing we've gotten off the Obama family for a scandal. right? Yeah, you got George W. Bush. You got Dick Cheney shooting his friend in the face, right? We got Bush's daughters having these drug prescription overdose and, you know, addiction problems. You got Bill Clinton, of course, the sex scandal and all that, you know. Worst we can get off Obama is his 18-year-old daughter smoked a joint at Lollapalooza. Ooh. What a non-issue, huh? I'm proud of the girl. She looks like she's making the smart choice. I'm not seeing pictures of her doing beer bongs or keg stands. That's what I'd really be worried about as a parent. All right, we got a bunch of stuff coming up in the next three segments. College students using more pot and fewer opioids. Parents opposed to pots, 10 reasons not to date a stoner, and some international news from Italy when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
I hope everybody's got their vape pen handy or their pipe or their bong or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But you don't, it's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 9 after the hour. Glad to have you here on this beautiful day, beautiful Thursday. We are just 61 days away from Marijuana Election Night 2016. And it is going to be an epic broadcast. Let me tell you, folks, it'll be starting with the Russ Belville Show, the regular show you're used to, but of course with a election night theme. On that first hour on election night, we're going to compare all the legalization initiatives, give you the details on the medical marijuana initiatives, show you the impact on marijuana legalization thus far on the country. And then in the second half hour, we'll have two roundtables of the leaders from the drug policy organizations, some of the, who've already committed to be on the show, Diane Goldstein from LEAP, Amanda Ryman from Drug Policy Alliance, Ethan Nadelman, the founder and head of Drug Policy Alliance, Tom Angel from Marijuana Majority, and I believe we'll also have Keith Strop from Normal, Mason Tvert from MPP, and Neil Franklin from LEAP on that show. Then in the hour two,
The polls will be closing in Florida. We'll speak with the campaign managers in Florida and our live correspondents. We'll have interviews to go to as well. In our first hour, Cliff Duvall, our friend in Texas, is running for the Texas State House, and we'll talk to him about his campaign. We'll also have looking to have John Hudak from Brookings Institute to give us a rundown on the effect of these legalization votes on federal marijuana prohibition. We will be talking with, in the third hour, the polls will close in Massachusetts, Maine, and Arkansas. We'll have all the campaign managers and live coverage from the election headquarters. We've also got Karen O'Keefe from the Marijuana Policy Project. She'll be breaking down some of the gubernatorial races that could make a difference in marijuana policy, plus the effect of legalization on state legislatures. In our fourth hour of coverage, the polls will close in Arizona and Colorado. Of course, Colorado, Denver's got the social use initiative. There's a bunch of local votes to cover in Colorado as well. We will bring the campaign managers on for that, plus our live coverage from the campaign headquarters. We'll also be speaking in that hour with Carrie Boyter, a former Washington medical marijuana activist who's moved back to her home in Montana and is running for the Montana State House. We'll talk to her about her campaign. And then in our fifth hour, the polls will close in North Dakota, Montana, and Nevada. We will speak to the campaign managers from those three campaigns, plus our live correspondents at the campaign watch parties. And in that hour, we'll also interview Diane Goldstein from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition to find out what's happening in California as they await their votes. And Stephanie Viskovich in Washington State, she's running for the Washington State Legislature, a longtime marijuana activist. Then, of course, the sixth hour, the hour we will all be waiting for when the polls close on the West Coast, California, Oregon, and Washington. California, of course, voting on Prop 64, marijuana legalization that could change the world. Oregon's got about 54 different city and county votes going on for local opt-outs, and then we'll update the Washington figures for Stephanie Viskovich and any other local votes we can find. Campaign managers, of course, and we will be bringing you the live coverage because we will be headquartered at the Oakland watch party for Prop 64 with the Drug Policy Alliance people. So we'll bring you a lot of live coverage from that and other interviews. And we'll wind up the night with as many folks we can talk to as possible to celebrate as many wins as possible. It all takes place on Tuesday, November 8th, starting at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, running till 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, or later if things get interesting. It's all on CannabisRadio.com, hashtag MJ Election Night. And we will, we are getting prepared for it. It's only 61 days away, and I'm just so excited. Oh, it's going to be fun. All right, let's get back to the show and some of our topics for today. Recently, that national survey on drug use and health numbers came out. And of course, the media are chopping these numbers up and producing as many stories as they can on it. The story out of the UPI, Health Day News, college students using more pot, fewer opioids. And it points out the survey shows that past year use, so annual use, did you smoke pot this year, for college students, and this is the 18 to 25 group, I think, that they're referring to, rose from 30% in 2006 to 38% in 2015. So the most recent data, 38% of college students have smoked pot that year. And the daily or near daily use, which is what they define as 20 or more times in the past 30 days, that reached nearly 6% in 2014, which was the highest level of daily use in the past 34 years. But then it fell to slightly less than 5% in 2015. And the they, of course, bring out the perception of risk numbers, that there's a decrease in the perceived risk of harm about marijuana. And the research professor at the Institute, the co-lead researcher, says this should be taken seriously by college administrators, parents, and students themselves. And it's frustrating to me because this idea that we're finding or we believe marijuana used to be less risky seems to me to correlate with the fact that we're finally getting the truth about it. It's like these people start off with this presumption that we should be afraid of marijuana because we should not use it. If we become less afraid of it, more of us might use it. And then what? Right? So that's my problem with this is, of course, we're finding it to be less risky. You start to find out that these study after study after study after study that come out and they say there's no long-term cognitive problems. There's no serious risk of cancer or lung disease or any of these other problems that have been thrown at us for 8 decades now about marijuana use. So, of course, we're finding it less risky than we used to find it before. The risk we should find attendant to marijuana use should reflect the dangers it actually causes. We should be as afraid of it as it is scary. And it's not scary. It's non-toxic. It doesn't lead to wild mood swings and lack of impulse control and aggression and all these things that we find from other drugs that are problematic. We don't find that from marijuana. We shouldn't find it risky at all. Well, unless you live in a prohibition state, and then, yeah, it's risky as hell. That's the risk that we should be feeling from it. But as they looked through the numbers, they found some other numbers that are quite telling as well. The non-medical use of prescription opioids, painkillers, fell from 9% in 2006 to 3% in 2015. Just 3% of college-age kids are abusing pills now, painkiller pills. You know, OxyContin, Vicodin, Percocet, fentanyl, like that company that donated in Arizona. So we fewer of them using these deadly, dangerous drugs. And again, it's interesting to me, right? How as soon as the marijuana figures start to go up, they look at that perception of risk and go, oh my God, they don't think it's scary. But when the prescription painkillers go down from 9% to 3%, you know, they're a third of what they used to be in just, 9 years? They don't make that similar correlation. They don't make that similar point that, hey, what happened to the perception of risk on using heroin and OxyContin and Percocet and all that? Did that go up? Did that go down? I think it would probably go up. I think people would be getting the message these days that, hey, this stuff's highly addictive and can kill you. The principal investigator, though, did bring this up. He said, quote, it appears that college students at least are hearing and heeding the warnings about the very considerable dangers of using narcotic drugs, end quote. Yeah, they're hearing the truth about the narcotics. So why can't you believe they're hearing the truth about the cannabis? With the cannabis, it's, oh my God, we got to redouble our efforts to make sure they know how bad it is. Can't have it both ways. With amphetamine use, illicit amphetamine use, they call it non-medical use of prescription stimulant drugs. We call it studying for finals, right? Cramming for the exam. But they take the Adderall and the Ritalin and that kind of stuff, right? Well, that doubled between 2008 and 2012, 11%. But in 2015, it's down to less than 10%. So it's gone down slightly on that as well. Other things that we found, ecstasy use fell to about 4% by 2015. Use of synthetic cannabinoid products, K2, spice, fell from 8.5% in 2011 to less than 2% in 2015. Because again, people aren't stupid. I mean, yeah, you may be young and dumb and full of, you know, wild ideas, but doesn't necessarily mean you want to die. And people, they start to get the message on this K2 stuff. They start to hear about these overdoses and these problems people have with it. Of course, they're less likely to want to use it. So if it's good news that fewer college kids are using all these other drugs, it should also be good news that they're using marijuana more.
Excellent.
Isn't life grand?
Excellent.
And notice they never make that correlation. Could it be that because the marijuana use is going up, it is facilitating the other drug use to go down? They never make that one, do they? All right, happy 420 here in the Pacific time zone, and that includes Bend, Oregon. It's on you. Puff, puff, pass. We'll be right back after this.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is him pink, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo!
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you had yourself a great safety briefing. We did here. It's in our contract. 423 here in the Pacific time zone, looking out at Mount Hood across the Willamette River here in Portland. And we've come across the site of Parents Opposed to Pot. Now, it's funny to me on a meta level because they call their group Parents Opposed to Pot, right? And so Parents Opposed to Pot, the acronym would be POP, right? POP, Parents Opposed to Pot. But they call themselves Pop Pot. Their website is poppot.org. And the post I'm reading here is 10 Reasons Not to Date a Stoner, and it says, please share this post with every concerned parent you know. Spread the word about Pop Pot. Pop Pot. Pop Pot. It's hard to say sometimes. Pop Pot. Folks, isn't that redundant? Doesn't that mean parents opposed to pot? Pot? Or am I just high? Maybe I'm just a stoner, right? Well, here's their piece. It's entitled 10 Reasons Not to Date a Stoner. 10 Reasons Not. And since I'm single now, I guess I need to know why the women should not date me. 10 Reasons Not to Date a Stoner. Here we go. Advice for teens and college students. It may seem an old-fashioned thought, but the one you date should be a suitable mate. I don't think that's an old-fashioned thought, is it? You should date people that are suitable? Go on. Consider the type of person you want to marry before getting involved with a stoner. No, wait a minute. I'm just interested in dating, right? I mean,
does everyone I date have to be somebody I might marry? Who said I was ever going to get married again, huh? All right, let's continue.
Doing this will save you from short-term frustrations and long-term unhappiness. 10 reasons not to date a stoner. Number one, financially unstable. The stoner lifestyle may not seem to interfere with your relationship until it begins to put a strain on your finances. When you are dating someone who begins to spend excessive time and money on marijuana, you may be left responsible for picking up the slack.
Yeah, because we're so hooked on weed. So hooked on weed, we can't afford to pay the rent. Can't afford to get the groceries. All the money goes into the weed. Now, look, there may be some people that are like that. I'm not going to deny that. There may be some people that are spending too much money every week at the dispensary. But they're the kind of people that you wouldn't want to date because they spend too much money on X, Y, or Z. It's not the marijuana that's the problem here. It's dating someone who's irresponsible. Being a cannabis consumer does not necessarily mean you're irresponsible. All right, let's go on.
Number two, addiction takes priority. Despite the claims of many who say marijuana is not addictive, marijuana dependency exists. According to a study done by the government in 2012, over 1.5 million Americans under the age of 26 were found to be addicted to marijuana. There is no way of knowing whether your friend will become a full-blown addict. But if it does become an addiction, it will dictate and often interfere with daily life due to the dependency.
Okay, don't date a stoner because they might be addicted to it. Okay. Instead, go to the frat party with the guys that are drinking. They turn out just fine. Let's go on.
Number three, competing with a drug. A relationship is more likely to collapse when an individual expresses a greater interest toward a substance than toward their partner.
But isn't that number two? Didn't you just restate number two? Addiction takes priority was number two. Competing with a drug was number three. That's the same thing. All right, let's go on.
Number four, guilt. You may experience feelings of decreased self-esteem and self-worth when you feel obligated to accept his or her addiction lifestyle despite your own disapproval.
If you disapprove, don't date him. Look, the reason not to date a stoner is maybe that you don't smoke pot and you don't enjoy the same things together. It might be my reason for not dating a Christian girl. Right? We just don't share much in common. We don't share the same activities. But I'm not going to feel guilty about it. Come on. Let's go on. Switch voice, Russ.
Number five, fertility and parenthood. Smoking marijuana has been linked with decreased sperm counts and chances for fertility, which could complicate a couple's attempt to have a child. Furthermore, even if fertility is not compromised, do you really want to expose your children to a mind-altering drug?
Okay, so in the first sentence, state the problem. In the second sentence, say that it might not be a problem. Thanks for that. Look, these links with decreased sperm counts and chances for fertility. I always like to point out that Bob Marley had 12 kids. Tommy Chong has 7 kids. Willie Nelson has 9, or Tommy has 9 and Willie has 7. I always forget which is which. If marijuana seriously decreased sperm counts and chances for fertility, there'd be no more Rastafarians. The island of Jamaica would have depopulated by now. I mean, come on. Cannabis has been around for 7,000 years. People have been using it for 7,000 years. The fact that there are still people using it kind of proves that it's not having this terrible problem with fertility. But let's pretend that it did. Would that be the worst thing in the world? Fewer people on this planet? Less population? I don't see that as necessarily a problem. But then this point, do you want to expose your children to a mind-altering drug? Are you having wine at dinner? If you're having wine at dinner, then STFU, because you got no leg to stand on here. Exposing your children to a mind-altering drug. All right, let's continue. These are the parents opposed to pot, 10 reasons not to date a stoner.
Number 6, lack of energy. Relationships take work, and being friends with a stoner may not last when your partner's motivation is decreased by his or her pot habit. Your boyfriend or girlfriend will make less effort and less desire to make you the priority.
Well, again, number 6 is referring back to 3 and 2 on the priority and the addiction thing. But this thing about the partner's motivation, we just had that study come out from University College London showing that long-term, heavy, chronic cannabis users are no less motivated than sober people. We can throw this amotivation survey thing away. We should have thrown it away after the Michael Phelps bong photo. Guys, the most decorated Olympian in history breaks a 2,100-year-old record in the Olympics that he broke of winning 13 individual gold medals. Guy's a pot smoker. Didn't seem to affect his motivation any. Hell, I'm on show 1,730-something. It's not affecting my motivation any. All right, here we go.
Number 7. Activists like to cause a racket. If he or she is an activist, good luck. A majority of marijuana users are also, quote, politically active and energized, end quote, according to Ed Gogek. And their, quote, allegiance to the drug, end quote, consumes their social calendar and Facebook newsfeed. Even activists will admit to the excessive amount of time and energy they spend at social gatherings and meetings where they aspire to make noise and fight the battle for legalization.
Okay. You wouldn't want to date somebody that's politically active, would you? I like that that's a negative. Oh, you don't want to date people that would rock the boat, teenagers and college kids. You're all looking to settle down and be, you know, mature and responsible. You wouldn't want to cause a racket. Yeah, okay. And again, this is that allegiance to the drug thing. Number 7 is pointing back to number 6, to number 3, to number 2. 4 things now so far in their top 10. We're only at number 7. 4 out of the 7 are don't date somebody because they'll like marijuana too much and not you and won't like you enough. Okay, let's go on.
Number 8, say goodbye to the simple pleasures. If you are dating a frequent marijuana user, it is likely that they will rarely be satisfied with the simple pleasures in life unless they are high. This may lead to a major disconnect between the two of you.
Okay. This is the, they won't like to go to the movies, won't like to, everywhere they go, they'll always have to be high. Okay. This may be for some people. Some people like that. I myself am that way sometimes. Although recently went out to a couple of different events without any cannabis. And the more legal it gets, the more access you have to it, the less that is a problem for you. Because A, if you always want to be high, you can be. Or B, if you don't want to be, you don't have to worry about it because you can always get it later. Again, if you don't share stuff in common, if you don't like getting high and going to a concert, yeah, don't date the person. But these aren't like don't date people because of the marijuana. It's just don't date them because you don't have something in common. All right, let's finish this up. Number 9. Oh, sorry.
Number 9, fear of the unknown. Perhaps the scariest part of dating a marijuana user is the fear of what may come next. Just because you begin dating someone whose habit,
by the way, they misspelled whose,
whose habit seems harmless, there is no way of knowing what it could evolve into, whether it be addiction, mental illness, depression, or in some cases, the exploitation of other harmful drugs. Check out this story of a teen whose marijuana habit led him down a path toward heroin abuse.
Yeah, don't date the guy smoking pot because, you know, gateway theory, they're eventually going to become heroin addicts. You don't know what could come next. They could freak out, go psycho, you never know. Okay. And finally,
number 10, dealing with mood swings. There are highs and lows involved in any relationship. However, it is important to realize that with a stoner, the literal highs will be high, but the lows may be extremely low. As with any other drug, there are withdrawal symptoms that accompany marijuana, such as irritability, anger, aggression, and sometimes depressed mood.
Okay, so there you go. The Pop Pot, parentsopposedtopot.org, pop, P-O-P-P-O-T.org. 10 reasons not to date a stoner. I'll give you one. I'll give you one solid reason not to date a stoner. You don't like him or her. There's your reason. Whether or not someone drinks or smokes or takes drugs, if you're into that, then maybe you're into dating them. If you're not, then don't. But don't blame it just on the substance itself. Hell, I hate cigarette smoking, but I've dated cigarette smokers because I liked them. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, international news, Italian cops for legalization.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your cannabis business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
Hello?
Hey, are you the one that put the ad on Craigslist? It was in the personal section about, you know, want to have a little good time tonight?
No.
Nothing about, you know, any backdoor action?
No.
A little fifth base? You're not into that?
No, and I suggest you don't fucking call my phone number, you fucking perverted bastard.
Are you sure you're not the one on the Craigslist? You're talking dirty to me. Damn, she hung up.
That was good.
It was funny, though.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here?
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Almost 40 after the hour here. And that means we're just about, 20 minutes away from the kickoff of the NFL season? Thursday night football kicking off. Carolina and Denver at Denver. Matchup of the last Super Bowl, and Denver's an underdog in this game. Weird for a Super Bowl champion at home to be an underdog. But then again, they lost Peyton Manning. He's retired. Speaking of Peyton Manning, I don't know if you got to see it over the weekend. I just watched it on my DVR last night. The Comedy Central roast of Rob Lowe. Oh, Oh, if you haven't seen it, you got to see it. It is sublime. There are, first of all, two people that slayed at the roast that you wouldn't have expected. Peyton Manning. Slayed. He was great. And Jewel, you know, the singer Jewel, she was great at the roast. And then the best, oh, the most beautiful thing to watch. For reasons unknown, Ann Coulter was on the dais. Ann Coulter was there for a roast, right? Now, that presents a weird situation, right? Because, you know, the idea of a comedy roast is that you say shitty, mean things about people that you don't mean. They're good-natured ribbing and digs, but it's kind of an act of love. And a lot of people don't like roast humor, and I understand why they don't, but I love the hell. I've been watching roast humor since I was a kid, man. I watched those old Dean Martin roasts with my dad. I loved it. You know, don't understand most of the jokes. I still loved it. So it was weird because at a roast, you're supposed to be saying these mean, shitty things that you don't really mean. Meanwhile, Ann Coulter, that's her gig, is to say mean, shitty things that she does mean. And you could tell nobody on the stage really liked her much. And so she gets up, do her thing. And her thing, she just shamelessly, literally shamelessly plugs her book, sits her book right there on the podium and launches into her act, if you could call it that, that was just horrible. And I don't mean horrible like because I'm a lefty liberal type and she's a righty and I didn't like her politics. I mean horrible from a stand-up comedy point of view, right? Like Dennis Miller's kind of a righty now. But he at least has comedy chops, right? He can still write a funny joke. There was not a laugh in her whole act. It was wonderful. Just watching her bomb. Oh, it was just gorgeous. So if you get a chance to pick that up on your TV somehow or online, I highly encourage you to watch it. Of course, I do most things highly. Wanted to take a look at some international stories that popped up on my radar and this first one, most important one, I'd say, is up on Leafly today. And it's Italian law enforcement join push for cannabis legalization. Now, I've brought you some stories about how Italy and their parliament, they're working on marijuana legalization. And they're moving forward pretty fast compared, you know, to the rest of Europe here. But to have the law enforcement groups behind it is wonderful. And it's not just the law enforcement groups, the National Anti-Mafia Agency, right? Because yeah, well, that's where the mafia is from, right? Italy. They have a national agency for this on organized crime. They're for the legalization. The police union is for the legalization. And later this month, the parliament there in Italy is going to be talking about this legalization proposal. The bill would give you 5 cannabis plants, 15 grams of dried flower at home, and 5 grams you could carry around with you. Now, I know, when I mention that, people go, 15 grams off of 5 plants? You're supposed to go 3 grams per plant? Really? Really? So, no, not really. come on, man. This is such a weird thing, but whenever they do that, whenever this part comes up, because it comes up in our legalization debates here in America too, where they make an absurdly low home possession limit based on the number of plants you have. Now, our legalization laws in the states, the initiatives, most of them now, are saying that you can keep the results of your harvest. That's what they got in Colorado, in Alaska, Oregon. We're limited to 8 ounces. Off of our harvest of 4 plants. So we're only supposed to grow 2 ounces per plant. And the rest, I don't know. So I would love to see more of these laws have the sensible option that you can keep the harvest of your plants. Or at least set a limit so great that you're not likely to bust it. 1 pound a plant, okay? Now, I know people that can get 3 pounds off a plant, but that's with extremely good growing techniques and master, you know, abilities. Your average grower not going to get 1 pound off a plant, so you'll set it somewhere that makes sense. Nevertheless, the bill's 5 plants, 15 grams at home, 5 grams on the street. Cannabis would be sold in state licensed stores, so you go to a pot shop in Italy, and then there'd also be
non-commercial cannabis social clubs that would allow up to 50 members, and they could swap and share the cannabis that they grow. Somewhat like what they've got in Spain, excuse me, with their cannabis clubs, with their cannabis cooperatives, I should say. Now, this bill is being proposed and trying to, I had to find the quote there. Felice Romano from the Police Workers Union, the largest police workers union, said, quote, "These are substances that today are used for therapeutic purposes, and cannabis is cultivated by the Italian army. If cannabis were sold through a legal framework, it would be less dangerous and would not contain chemical pollutants and additives that do more damage than the active ingredients," end quote. So a cop looking at this as a harm reduction measure. Wow. What's that like? What else they got? The anti-mafia agency took the firm stance against prohibition. Italy's top prosecutor, Franco Roberti, said decriminalizing cannabis would strike a blow to the Islamic State militants and Italian mobsters alike, as the two entities have teamed up to smuggle hash into Italy. Wow, man. Law enforcement people who understand that an illicit drug trade funds organized crime and terrorism. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around this. Cops that understand this. I mean, I've talked to LEAP cops for years, but these are active duty guys. These are guys running the national, these are the heads of the national agencies here in Italy that are saying this. Not the beat cops, not the guy that just retired. The head of the agencies. The agency went on, the anti-mafia agency went on to say, quote, "It would be a revival of the Italian justice system, legalizing cannabis," end quote. And there's three important facts that support it. Number one, international and national criminal organizations have a monopoly on the Italian cannabis market. Afghanistan is the second largest producer of cannabis bound for Italy, with proceeds financing terrorist groups like the Islamic State. And Italian law enforcement, although successful in curbing the trade of hard drugs, hasn't managed to influence cannabis demand. Their efforts are widely considered a waste of money and resources. Amazing. Now, the anti-mafia agency isn't going all in on this. They still remain opposed to personal cannabis cultivation. If they had their way, it would be one of those dispensary-only type situations where, you know, you got the government growers and you can only buy it at the state store, but you can't cultivate it yourself. Their worry is that with, you know, the personal cultivation, with collective cultivation, the mafia could use that as a cover and just, you know, use continue to infiltrate the market. The Italian experiment here is, like I said, they're going to be debating this as it comes through the Italian parliament this month. We'll keep an eye on it here at Cannabis Radio and let you know. But be nice to see some European countries come around to legalization. They tiptoe around it. You know, the Netherlands has their legal retail sales and legal personal consumption and possession, but the cannabis has to magically appear from somewhere. It's kind of the production of it and the trafficking of it is still illegal in the Netherlands. Now, Spain has their cannabis collectives. There's, you can join, you can become a member of. So, but that's still kind of legal gray area there as well. But it's changing. There's a bill in parliament in Germany for legalization. It's stalled at the moment, though. But they'll come around. I'm telling you, after this marijuana election night, after California especially, when that comes around, oh, once that happens, you're going to see such a massive shift in public policy positions at the international level. Just going to be amazing. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. Now, in other international news, we take you down to Australia, where the Australian Broadcasting Corporation reports on a naturopath in Canberra, Australia, who was giving cannabis oil to his daughter and to other patients, terminally ill clients, and was found manufacturing cannabis oil and tinctures and giving them to his patients. And he knew it was illegal, of course, in that Australian state to be doing that. But the this naturopath was just given a 12-month suspended sentence. Could have been jailed, could have been imprisoned, but just given a 12-month suspended sentence and 18-month good behavior order, you know, like a probation kind of thing. And the justice said he accepted that the naturopath wasn't trying to be a drug dealer, trying to make any financial gain, but still says that it was a reckless decision to help his teenage daughter with her anxiety and sleep disorders with cannabis oil. The justice said, quote, "I accept that you believed legalization of medicinal cannabis was imminent and you thought it would allow you to get in on the ground floor. The supply was to a child and involved a significant breach of your obligations as a parent. This is an unusual case. In truth, your admission of cannabis to your daughter can only be described as reckless. This is an unusual case, but it is still an example of significant criminal offending," end quote. It's going to take a long time before we have judges across this country and around the world that will fully understand what's going on here in these kind of cases, these medical cases, especially with children. It's going to take a while. And whether or not this guy thought medical cannabis was going to be legalized in Australia soon, to me, it doesn't matter. What matters to me is that a naturopath, a person with some understanding of healthcare, found someone to be suffering and tried to come up with a way to help. Using a plant, a non-toxic plant with low side effects. It's going to be remarkable when I'm in my 80s or 90s to get to talk to people and try to explain to them exactly what this prohibition was like back in the day. Yes, we actually went out of our way, spent lots of money, and ruined countless lives to try to stop that plant. All right, be right back to wrap things up after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
You're going to find really wonderful, well-meaning, well-spoken people, and then people that are just batshit crazy.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com,
or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedup.lawyer@gmail.com.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Just closing up shop here at CannabisRadio.com because, well, I'm it. I'm your live guy in the afternoon, and this is the end of the hour. But before we go, just a reminder, tomorrow, 60 days left before legalization happens. We'll have more great guests on the show starting at 3 p.m. Pacific. And coming up in the next 60 days, we're going to be speaking with all of the campaign directors from all of the different initiatives around the country, plus people that are running for office that are one of us. If you know of any local initiatives, local candidates, anything that we ought to be adding to our marijuana election night coverage, please let me know. RadicalRuss@gmail.com. I've got all the state level stuff, and I've got most of Oregon's local stuff, but I understand now, I saw something in the OC register, a whole bunch of local stuff in California, tax stuff, bans, all of that. So we're going to have to get a rundown on that. We'll probably have some local votes in Colorado and Washington to take a look at as well. Maybe even Alaska has some boroughs or townships that are voting on bans. If you know of any of this stuff, please send it our way. We want to make sure that we are the destination for all your marijuana election night coverage. If they're voting on weed, we're covering it. And that sound means it's all the time we got for today. Time flies when you legalize. Thanks for joining us here on CannabisRadio.com. And make sure you check out my writing at HighTimes.com on Tuesdays and Fridays. And nearly daily on WeedNews.co. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.